Today I want to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yadav of Shavuos cannot be discussed without giving credit to the one who made it possible. Omer Dov Hashem Omer Mevi Ve'ulo Li'olam. Moshe Rabbeinu single-handedly is the one that is responsible for Matan Torah. I have here this wonderful sefer called the Commentators Shavuos by Rabbi Yitzchok Sender. He's a real heavy-duty Talmud Chacham. His Sfarim are full of beautiful chidushim. He wrote a number of Haggadahs, and it's not a translation. So it was written.
He's an American.
He wrote everything. Most of them are in English. There's a lot of Sfarim. I think that's the back here. All the Sfarim, and he has here a chapter on Moshe Rabbeinu where he presents many of the soidos that we should be aware of when thinking about and discussing Moshe Rabbeinu. Now before we go, I just want to tell you two little short verlach that are not here but relate how Moshe Rabbeinu very much relates to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We know that Yom Tov of Shavuos, the most popular minig is to eat milchiks. What would Shavuos be without cheesecake? It's all about milchiks. We mentioned yesterday the minig is to eat the suda the first night, the night to the shavuot from the milcha de gasuda. Among the hundreds of reasons, or that's a little bit of an exaggeration, why we eat milchiks is because of Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we mean? When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, when he was thrown into the Nile and he was retrieved by Basia, or Bissam, some Bissia, so she wanted to nurse him. Obviously, Bissia must have been a mother herself, other children she was able to nurse. She wanted to nurse Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe refused to nurse. Why did Moshe refuse to nurse? So Hashem put a machshav in his mind, peh, she'osid, ledaber im hashchina. Such a holy mouth, peh el peh, adaber bo, should be in contact, should nurse, should be yoinek from a non-Jewish woman. Are you talking such a thing? No, cannot be such a thing. So David Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse, and that's why she had to find the true mother, or ask Miriam. Miriam found Yocheved, and she was paid for her service for nursing Moshe Rabbeinu. So here we have the Indian of milk. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was spared, when his life was saved, he refused to nurse, to mishoise milk, chola, because osid ledaber im hashchina peh el peh. We commemorate Moshe Rabbeinu. What are we commemorating by eating basa b'cholav? We're not just commemorating, dvash v'cholav tachas l'shonech, they didn't know the halachas. There are a hundred reasons. But one of the reasons is we're remembering Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Matan Torah could not have possibly happened without the Mesiras Nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu for Klal Yisrael. His existence, the first day of his coming to this world, where he was taken out of hiding, on that day it was revealed, Peh, Osir Ledaber Im Hashchina, Matan Torah, he's going to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu, therefore that Peh must be Kadosh, could only be Shoy Secholof from a Jewish mother. That's why he refused. It is a way to remember Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's one thing, that's one idea. Another idea, something very interesting. The only day a year when the minhag is, we discussed this at the beginning of the week, Berachas Hashach, all the various brachas that we say in the beginning of the morning, if we stay up the entire night, it's problematic for us to recite the Berachas Hashach. So we discussed this. Is it really problematic? It's not really so problematic. You have Al Tilas Yadayim, Ashayotz, Lukai Neshama, Mavir Sheinan, Berachas Hashachar, you have Tzitzis, Berachas HaTorah. We have all of these brachas, and what else? The bracha on the Talis. The bracha on making a bracha on the talis is a problem for boys who are not married, because since they do not wear a talis gadol and they're wearing the talis gadol the entire night, so they cannot make a bracha on mitzvah tzitzis. They need someone to make the bracha on the talis gadol hesatef tzitzis, to be moitzei a person who's not married that does not wear a talis. So the problem is, so it is the only time in the year when the bracha on the talis is made berabin. We're talking about a shul that does it right. Unfortunately, there are many, many shuls many Beis Minyanim that even shuls that are not with the program, they don't do it in a kavodik way. But in a shul that does it in a very professional way, the very first thing you do is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedoshanu B'Mitzvos V'Mitzvanu L'Sateif Ba Tzitzis. What do you say about this? But tzitzis. L'sateif ba tzitzis. But tzitzis machloikas. Is it tzitzis or tzitzis? There's a grammar machloikas. If you could say tzitzis or tzitzit. 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 Like the Israelis say. Tzitzit. Whatever it is. It's the first thing that is done on the morning of Shavuos. To make a bracha on a talis be'rabim. What is the significance of, besides the halachic reasons for doing so, what is the significance? Who, okay, right, very good, 613, it's a beautiful thing because tzitzis represent tayag mitzvos, all 613 mitzvos, but it is the only example that Rashi gives in Parashas Korach in reference in describing the challenge of Korach against the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach said, Kolakho kulum kadoshim. V'lomo tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're nothing. You're just one of many. You're one of 600,000 people. There's nothing special about you. So this really draws upon a Gemara, but Rashi quotes one Maimer Chazal. What? Rashi only quotes one. There were three. There were three examples in the Gemara. The Gemara has three. A room full of summer. Rashi only quotes one. Look at Rashi and Korach, and that's the Talis. Rashi says, Korach, he got up on the whole Klal Yisrael and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, a Talis, that's Kula Tcheles. Does it require tzitzis? Moshe said, yes, it does. It does require. How could it possibly, if a Talis that's love and only one chut pat is a Talis, so a Talis, a Kula Tcheles, that's completely blue, it requires tzitzis? It's ridiculous. And they all laughed at Moshe Rabbeinu. He used the talis as a way to delegitimize Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Navi Hashem, the one who brought Torah to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, on the morning of Shavuos, Haloi Davar, is it not? And this is the only example that Rashi gave. Rashi. Sittis. So this is a very significant thing. And so Haloi Davar, it's not an accident. It's not to be taken for accident that when we begin the day of Matan Torah, the long davening that we have in the morning of Shavuos, the first thing that's done is a one-time event the entire year. The only time a bracha of talis is made birabim, as a way of saying there's a mitzvah of tzitzis, and the way we do the mitzvah of tzitzis, the way that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us to do the mitzvah of tzitzis, asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu l'sateif batalis, we do batzitzis, the way Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, that's, it's a kovoid to Moshe Rabbeinu. And why? Because Matan Torah all comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have over here two different minhagim. Two minhagim which give credit to Moshe, Bosabuch, Milchix, and the Talis. Now let's just discuss briefly some of the no major chidushim. I just want to present some yesoides that we should be aware of when discussing a thing about Moshe Rabbeinu. First of all, we have the Ani Mamins. There are 13 Ani Mamins. It is very interesting that the Rambam broke up Nevuah into two separate animamins. Animamim u'nishleimo, shekol divrei neviim emes. And then the next, that's number six. Number seven is animamim u'nishleimo, shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom. Notice we have to mention that he died. Even someone like Moshe Rabbeinu, who is Moshe Rabbeinu, he also olav hashalom. He also, he doesn't say, he says, he said, today if you would say about a person, olav Hashalom, it's an insult, right? All of Hashalom, Ayin Hey, almost stands for Am Haaretz, right? It's an insult. And yet, me go me God alone, me Moshe Rabbeinu, and with him it says, all of Hashalom. Number one, he died. It should be aware that even Moshe Rabbeinu can die. Number two, he's only all of Hashalom. That's the ultimate bracha. The Reisman says, because Hashem Hashem is Shalom. You want to give a bracha. You want to use Hashem Hashem. Haisa Amitis. He was Emes. Vishuhu Hoya Av La Neviim. He was the father to the Neviim. La Koydim Lefana Vila Boim Achra. Those that came before and those that came after. So there are number of questions. Among the questions is, first of all, why did the Rambam have to break this up into two different categories? Why don't we just say that Ani Mamin Be'emunah Shleima that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevi'im? And Memela, we know that all of the Nevi'im that follow from Moshe Rabbeinu, they're also Emes. L'chara, all the other prophets are all in the category of Moshe Rabbeinu. And even if you want to break it up into two, you would probably want to reverse the order. It would be more logical first to mention Moshe Rabbeinu and then to mention the subordinates. So these are two very tough questions. There are no good answers. There are really no easy answers. But some of the hints to answer this question is, look at the difference in describing them. When we describe Nevi'im, we describe Nimam Mishlana should call it Divrei. When we describe other prophets, we describe them with the word Divrei. Their words. Their words are emes. When we describe Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't say the word Divrei. Animan, the Munash Lema, Shenevuas, the prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu. When we describe his words are the Nevuah. Just straight, Nevuah. When we describe other prophets, we describe them with the word Divrei, the words. Animan, the Munash Lema, should call Divrei. The words of the Nevi'im are emes. Moshe shenevuas. Moshe ben Olav Shalom hoyts amitis v'shehu hoyts av la Nevi'im. So what is that coming to express? First, explain now. What I'm telling you is not exactly what it says here, but pretty much between the lines, I think he means to bring out this point. He quotes another Rambam. There's another Rambam later on. Rambam in the Rambam writes that there are two different types of Nevi'im, two different types of prophecy. This is what he calls a Nevuah, a Navi, le'atzmo. Okay, this Ram, if anyone wants to know, is in Hilchos Yesoidei HaTorah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin. The Rambam writes, Nevi'as, Shetiyah, one of the prophecies, Shetiyah, Nevu'aso, le'atzmo bilvad. And then there's a Navi that's only a Navi because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to go on a mission. Hashem has a mission. There's Nineveh. Nineveh, they're sinners. I want you to go on a mission. So the only reason why, under normal circumstances, you would just be your average Joe. You would just be, a nice, good person. But I'm going to elevate you to the state of a Navi because I have a mission to send you on. So this is a very, very important principle. Everything about Moshe Rabbeinu and everything about that topic of Nevuah comes back to this Yisrael of the Rambam. There's a coming called Anovi Le'atzmo. I'm a prophet. I'm on an exalted high Madrega. And then there's a thing called Anovi. I'm an exalted Madrega, but it's Novi Shaluach La'am, as a messenger of the people.
To the people.
Chazal said there were 1 million Tom Yitzias Mitzrayim. There were 1,200,000. Well, not at a later point in time. Over history, there was 1,200,000 prophets, but only 48 of those are recorded, because only 48 of those were prophets that were there for the people that had mission, were sent on a mission, which was Nogea for us as today. Now, listen to this thought. Let's take, for example, Bilam. Bilam was a Navi for the Ummah Solam. Bilam, Chazal say, was had a very low moral standing. He was a Baal Taiva, tremendous Baal Taiva. He lived with animals. He did the worst of the worst. But yet he had a Nevuah, a prophecy that was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Aspak Larya Hamira. He saw things direct. Why? Hashem had to give the Ummah Solam a prophet, so he made him. He took an individual he felt would be the proper channel, a way to send a message. But he had no personal Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the difference, why we have two categories. The first category is a category, the Rambam, category number 6, Animam, the Mushem, Shekol Divrei Nevi'im Emes. We are discussing people who are not necessarily deserving of their exalted stature. The reason why they are prophets is because Hashem selected them. Hashem has a mission. Hashem has a message. So Hashem elevated these people. They're good people. They're holy people. But they are presenting to us more than what they really are worth. That's why it's the divrei. It's the words. It's not really them. They're just the messenger. And that is one, we have to believe in them. Hashem, sometimes He takes a person, He elevates them, they do perform for us miracles, so we believe that they're messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they are not anything special. The only reason why they're special is because they have a message for us. They derive their koyach from the tzibur, they're like politicians, so to speak. They represent the people. Then there is a new category of people that are holy. Moshe Rabbeinu was the holiest man. He was a Novi La'atzmo. He was holy in his own right. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved madrigals of spirituality that had no relevance for Klal Yisrael. They were gifts only to him. And Hashem used this person who was a Novi La'atzmo also to convey messages. That's what makes Moshe Rabbeinu in a category to himself. Because Moshe Rabbeinu earned his prophecy with the other category that the Rambam refers to as being a Novi La'atzmo. Okay, so this is a Yesodos. I'm not trying to say Chiddush, I'm trying to bring out Yesodos. There's a very important Yesod. A Novi La'atzmo, and there's a Novi Li'acherim. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi La'atzmo. He earned his Nevuah. He wasn't a Madrega on his own, and also he happened to be, Hashem sent him on a mission to help Klal Yisrael. Then there are other prophets. The vast majority of all prophets that we're familiar with, they were not a Novi La'atzmo. They were a holy people, but their prophecy was greater than what they were worth and what they were. That's why they had to be asleep when they received prophecy. The Hashem used them as messengers. That's sort of two completely separate categories. Okay, there's another very important yisod that we have to be aware of, and that is another words of the Rambam. The words of the Rambam, this is something which is discussed at great length by a lot of commentators. The Rambam talks about the entire history of Klal Yisrael, talks about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They came to the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and so on and so forth. And then the Rambam writes that after the death of Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim, the world went into a steep spiritual decline. They forgot about Emunah, they forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they went to Mitzrayim, one thing led to another. And the legacy of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov began to wane, began to disappear. Until it got to a point, here are the words of the Rambam, this is very critical, and these words can be discussed at great length, and a lot of the big, big thinkers, it got to a point where Klal Yisrael, they were spiritually, the world for that matter, was bankrupt, but, Umei Ahavas Hashem Oisanu, only because Hashem loves us, Umei Shomroyes Hashvua, and because Hashem is honest to His word, He guarded the oath. La'Avraham Avinu. Hear the words. Otsa Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem created Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? Hashem created Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are many interpretations of what this means. Now, one interpretation is, this is something which touches upon, if you ever go hear a course, a seminar, they give to Balei Tshuva, read a book about belief in God, or about Judaism, or any seminar, discover seminar, or age seminar, you always hear the following. All religions come from a person, Muhammad, Yashka. And they say, what do they tell? All the religions, what do they tell the masses? Guess what happened to me last night? I had a revelation. God came to me and He told me A, B, and C. And therefore, I think you should follow. You should be my follower because God came to me. The guy says to him. People say, really? God came to you? And the prophet says, trust me. It really happened. Trust me. You got to believe me. You got to have faith in me. Trust me that God came to me and spoke to me. Trust me. Klal Yisrael, how did Klal Yisrael start? Hashem came and revealed Himself to 600,000 people. Moshe Rabbeinu never ever said to Klal Yisrael, God came to me, He told me what to do, trust me. Listen to me. Hashem revealed Himself to 600,000 people. Every single person saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way Moshe Rabbeinu saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yilcha Elohim achim alponai, every single person saw that prophecy with the same clarity like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not a matter of trust. It's a matter of idea of knowledge. Moshe Rabbeinu happened to be in the center, happened to be the representative. But Moshe Rabbeinu was nothing special because everyone, that is what the Rambam means, also Moshe Rabbeinu. Every other prophet that came after Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes and he says to you, I have a prophecy, Yeshaya, Yechezkel, Yirmiyah, I got to tell you something, Rabbi Yisai, you're doing Averos, Hashem came to me. Really, did Hashem come to you? Yeah, trust me. The Nevi'im are only building upon things that we anyway know to be true because we have the Torah. Okay, so there is a degree of trust. But Moshe Rabbeinu was together also. Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were not together also. Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov came to the realization on their own. And they passed it down to their children with Emunah. The Shevatim and all the people in Mitzrayim had faith. They trusted Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Emunah would only last that long, only because over time the Emunah weakens. But with Matan Torah Har Sinai, we're no longer, the Emunah is a different type of Emunah, because the Emunah that we now have is built upon a Yediyah. Every single person was present, and Moshe was the leader. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is on a madrig even higher than Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, because Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, they came to realize Kadosh Baruch Hu on their own, and they passed that legacy down to Klal Yisrael. Everyone else only came to Hashem through an Emunah, which is very important, of course. But with Moshe Rabbeinu, it was begin, as the Rambam says, also as Moshe, by revealing himself to the entire Klal Yisrael, with Moshe being in the center. And now, when we deal with Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu with, trust me, we're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu and we get there a yediyah. Because this is a yesod, a very important yesod. To be aware of, again, no, I'm not trying to tell you, this is a yesod to dealing with, discussing the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu. Another quick yesod, a beautiful idea, you can do this what you want. How does Sefer Yeshua begin? Sefer Yehoshua. Sefer, let's talk about the Sefer Nevi'im. The world Torah is divided. There's Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Nevi'im, prophecy. How does, which the first Sefer in Sefer Nevi'im? Sefer Yehoshua. What is the last Sefer of Sefer Nevi'im? Malachi. The Treyasar. Malachi is the last Sefer. How does Sefer Yehoshua begin? Vayhi achar Mois Moshe Eved Hashem. After the death of Moshe, the Eved Hashem. It begins with Moshe. How does Malachi end? The last words of Malachi, Zichru Taras Moshe Avdi. Zichru Taras Moshe Avdi. So it comes out that the entire Nevi'im is sandwiched in between Moshe. All of the prophets of Sifrei Nevi'im, all the books of the Nevi'im are all bracketed in between Moshe in the beginning and Moshe at the end. Sandwiched because Moshe is the essence of prophecy and everyone else comes from Moshe. Everyone else is in the middle. Okay, Moshe. Okay, there are things that are limited. We're out of time. Just do one little quick, little cute, nice idea. Three times in the Torah are we taught about Moshe's greatness. Parshas Va'era, Parshas Bahaloitzcha, and the end of the Torah, Parshas Zot Sabracha. In Parshas Va'era, Va'era El Avos Mikel Shakai Ushmi Hashem Loinodati Lohem. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to make even greater. They did not even know the many interpretations of this pasuk, but one of the interpretations is, you Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to reveal to you things that were not revealed even to the Avos. Avos only were at a madrega of Shakai, which is a lower madrega, let's assume according to a very simple interpretation, but you Moshe, you're even greater, you're going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. The next time we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness is in the aftermath of Miriam, when Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. What? There are beautiful, all the psukim about Moshe Rabbeinu we learned from the aftermath when Miriam and Aaron spoke, Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. There again, Hashem says there's no one like Moshe. You're not a match. And the third time we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu is in Vizoy Sabracha. In Vizoy Sabracha, V'loikam k'mosha od b'Yisrael. There will never ever be, it says the word od, there will never ever be in the Klal Yisrael a leader like Moshe Rabbeinu. Three places in Chumash do we learn about Moshe's greatness. For Eira, Parashas v'Haloitzcha, and Parashas v'Zois HaBracha. In Parashas v'Eira, the focus is the past. There was no one in the world that before that was ever as great. In Parashas v'Haloitzcha, it's the present. There was no one equivalent in the present. Aaron, Miriam, you're not in a match to Moshe Rabbeinu. He has to stay away from his wife, and so on and so forth, because there's no one in the present. And Parashas v'Zois HaBracha is the future. V'loikam k'moshe od. So Sach HaKol Torah is telling us in these three locations, the past, the present, the future, Moshe Rabbeinu is in a league by himself. Past, present, future, he is one. Alright, so there are other things, but we're out of time, so we'll leave it with this.